Winter. The best thing about winter was the snow, snowmen, snowball fights and tobogganing. The worst thing about it was the cold when getting up in the mornings and the chilblains. Chilblains affected us all in the winter, young and old. Toes, heels, fingers, ears, especially the boys, became red and swollen, and the agony we experienced sitting around the fire in the evening and in bed when we became warm, the itching was intense, and if you tore at your feet and fingers too much, you were in danger of breaking the skin, which was even more painful. The cause, I expect, was getting out of warm beds in the morning into freezing cold bedrooms with only lino on the floor, so your feet were cold even before you had dressed. If there was a fire, you would get as close as possible and toast your hands and toes. The marked difference in the temperatures would cause all the trouble. All sorts of cures were recommended, and one that I was driven in desperation to escape the itching was to get the chamber pot from under the bed and plunge my feet into it. No cure was effective, but it did ease the itching for a short while. I would keep my clothes in bed with me, ready for the morning, and sit with the bedclothes over my head. And in this bed tent, I would try to dress myself. First of all, it was a long vest covering my bottom, and it had short sleeve. This garment would be cotton and fleecy lined. Next was a round-necked sleeveless top called a liberty bodice. It had tape sewn lengthwise for extra strength. Buttons were attached to this back and front, on which were attached detachable suspenders to keep our wool stockings up, which were usually black. Then to keep it all together were the knickers, long, elastic at the waist and round each leg. Then a petticoat, usually white cotton, trimmed with lace and broderie anglaise. Last of all would be a pleated wool skirt attached to a cotton top, sleeveless and round-necked. Over this, a good wool jumper, long sleeves, usually knitted by my mother or various aunts and friends. Then, putting on a good black leather pair of lace-up shoes, I would face the day, however cold it might be. Windows were crazed with ice, which had to be scraped off before I could see outside and over to the anchor to watch the horses pulling their heavy loads, their frosted noses and mouths expelling hot steam breath onto the frosty air, and their hooves slipping and sliding on the icy roads. When the snow came, it turned the village into a place of beauty beyond belief. I would wake up and see the trees laden down with heavy snowfalls, steep roofs white, not red, paths and roads with no definition, just a sea of sparkling white. And the quiet, nothing seemed to move, the birds did not sing, and sometimes the horses couldn't leave their stables. No buses would brave the roads, even the village boys would stay at home with their bicycles till later in the day. Boys and girls would be anxious to be out and enjoy this new winter wonderland. I remember we made snowmen in the churchyard, using the tombstones for the base. No disrespect was meant. Opposing gangs of boys and girls had many snowball fights on the downs and in the meadow where the village school, now demolished, once stood in School Lane. Our favourite tobogganing slopes were up the Rabbit Warren, now above Endway, called now Essex Way. At this time, the downs were full of bushes and trees, allowing no space for a toboggan run. Crowds of people would be up on the Rabbit Warren slopes. It was thrilling to be right at the top. I usually went up with a bigger boy. We waited our turn. Shouting and cheering echoed in our ears as we were pushed off and sent hurtling down the big slopes, bumping and skimming, snow stinging our faces and the wind taking our breath away. At the bottom was a steep bank of snow into which we tumbled, breathless but unhurt. The dogs would have chased after us. When we had recovered, we would harness the dogs to the toboggans to help us up the steep climb back to the top. Anxious to take our turn yet again and again, till worn out and very wet, we trudged home again. In 1929, we had a particularly hard winter. Day after day, very hard frosts, night and no thaw during the daytime hours. Temperatures went lower and lower, till one morning we woke up to find that the creek had frozen over. Huge blocks of frozen salt water blocked Church Creek, and people came from miles away to see such a freak occurrence. The main creek was much the same. Many blocks of ice, 6 feet long and very thick, floating and bumping along as the tides tried to make its usual movement. The marshland over towards Town Meadow, Hall Farm Road now, it flooded, then froze hard, several inches thick. We soon took advantage of this vast new skating rink. Young and old turned out to enjoy the novelty while it lasted. No repeat of such extreme cold weather has ever been recorded, but we may be surprised one winter to come. To those of you who lived in Benfleet at this time, I hope it will stir your memory and help you to remember what a lovely village it was. To people who have recently come to Benfleet, observe the fast changes that have taken place in such a short space of time. I hope they will look around them and see it as it was, and be transported back in time to see a perfect creekside village, for that is what it was.
You have been listening to Memories, written and read by Iris South.